For the love of God, of Christ constraineth us. The love of Christ keeps pushing us on. That's what that means. The love of Christ just keeps pushing us on. The love of Christ keeps on motivating us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all of us, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. New. Underline that. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are His ambassadors. We are not the devil's ambassador. We are the Lord's ambassador. Do y'all understand that? We work for the Lord. We don't work for the devil. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He's the one that has made us righteous. He's the one that has made us right. We've been reconciled unto Him. There in verse 17, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. No ands, ifs, buts, about. He is a new creature. You say, well, Brother Jones, we're Baptists. And we can do anything that we want to do and still be saved and go to heaven. Where did you get that teaching? True Baptist does not believe that. We don't believe that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. When a person is saved by the grace of God, there will be a definite change. As we said the other night, those whom the Lord saves, He changes. And I'm going to give you some proof of that here in a minute. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I didn't have any trouble understanding that verse. When it was taught to me, when it was preached to me, I didn't have any trouble understanding that. Because that is exactly what took place in my life when I was saved by the grace of God. I'm just telling you how I felt and how the Lord dealt with me. And all things were passed away and all things had become new. Those places that I used to like to go to, I never went back. And I didn't like to go to church, but now I love to go to church. I mean, the Lord put that in my heart immediately. When I was saved by the grace of God, I wanted to go back to church that night. And I wanted to be in church ever since. I wanted to hear the Word of God taught. The Lord gave me a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me a love for the Word of God. He gave me a love for His church. And boy, when church discipline was taught to me, I thought, man alive, there's no way that I ever want to be disciplined from a New Testament Baptist church. Because I love the Lord. And I loved His church. I loved His people. All things. They had passed away. And all things had become new. And I believe that's exactly happened. That's what happens when we're saved by the grace of God. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians, as long as I'm right here, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26. 1 Corinthians 1, 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Boy, that covers it all, doesn't it? That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We'll have a desire in our heart, realizing everything that He has done for us. We'll have a love in our heart for Him and have a desire to want to glorify Him with our lives. I believe that. Now, the Bible teaches, if it teaches anything at all, it teaches the great change that salvation works in a lost person. The Word of God not only teaches us where we're going when we die, but what we are to do while we're alive also. I believe that salvation demands examples. It demands examples. It demands a change. Look at the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 12, let's notice verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this body, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You can't fulfill verse 2 until you fulfill verse 1.
Listen to that, brother. There is no one
holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, the Lord does not demand anything unreasonable. Everything that He would have us to do and how He would have us to live is very reasonable. And you're saved, Mom and Dad are not asking anything unreasonable out of you and how they want you to live. I believe that. Because your mom and dad is all they're trying to do is live for the Lord and serve the Lord and trying to save you a whole lot of heartaches. I used to tell my kids, I said, this is all I'm doing is trying to show you that there's a trap here and there's one right here and there's one over here and there's one over here, and I'm telling you this because I don't want you to fall in them, because I've been there before. I've been in them. And as all I'm trying to do is trying to steer you around those pitfalls. And that's all your mom and dad is trying to do for you. And sometimes you don't appreciate it. Isn't that right? And so he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, you see. Transformed. There's a change. You are transformed by the renewing of your mind. You say, does it affect my mind? Well, sure it does. It affects your thinking. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a perfect will for your life. And verse 1 here tells you what it is. Verse 2 here also tells you what it is. And that is the perfect will of God for every born-again child of God. Listen, if there's not a change in your life, you have never been saved. And I want to show you that as we go along here. You say, well, there's just something missing in my life. It may be salvation. Because salvation produces a change. The grace of God produces a change in every person that is saved by the grace of God. Whether you're 50 years old when you were saved, or whether you was 8 years old, or whether you were 12 or 30, there will be a definite change in your life. I've seen kids walk down the aisle, 10, 11, 12 years old, say they're saved by the grace of God, and their buddy right behind him, and they, you know, just laughing and carrying on as if, you know, as if they hadn't experienced anything. You know. Just do it because Joe does it. You know. That won't get it. There won't be a change there if that's the reason you did it. There will be a change. There will be a definite change. Now that we're saved, we have a new position. From without Christ to being in Christ. That's our position now as a child of God.
our purpose. From Satan, from serving Satan, to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Our condition, from sinner to saint. We love darkness. Now we're in the light. Our destiny, from hell to heaven. Change. From death unto life. From loving the world to loving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we are now. Isn't that the way it was with you, Charlie? I want to notice a few here. In the New Testament, where there was a change in their lives. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You all are familiar here with the story here of the woman at the well. Look at we'll just read verses. I was going to read about 20-some verses, but I'm not going to take time to read all that. Read it when you get home. Look at verse 25. And the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, why seest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city, and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed, and unto him, and saying, Master, eat. But he saith unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore saith the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. So we see here we have the salvation of this woman at the well, which was a harlot. Very wicked woman. And she was changed. She was changed. From selling self to being a true witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was an immoral sinner. She was rejected by society. And she came to the well. She had a knowledge of religion. But praise God, the Lord saved her soul. And when the Lord saved her soul, it changed her life. There in those verses, in verse 28 and 29, she went to those men. And I don't know who they were. I surmise a little bit. Whether they were some of the men that she had been with or whether it was just men in general. But anyway, she went to the men. And she witnessed of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ put some meaning in her life. He put some good morals in her life. What a change. What a change. And I believe after you're saved, by the grace of God, you will change your hitching post. You won't want to go back to the bar and just sit there and drink a Coke, as I said the other night, and fellowship with that old crowd. You won't want to identify with those kind of people any longer. And we do this by association. You won't have a desire to associate yourself with that kind of crowd. When I was saved, I did not want to associate myself with that crowd. I'll tell you what happened on the way home to church that day when I was saved. I had a 57 Ford Sports Coupe. Had a console in the middle. I had a floor shift. I opened up that middle console, I lifted that up, that cover up. And there was some beer in there. Immediately, I wanted to get rid of it. So I took it over and gave it to my dad. Now that's how green I was. Just like you all were when you were saved. But all I could think of was getting rid of it. I didn't want anything to do with it. Listen, I have some personal experience with that stuff. There's some things that you lose when you drink. And one of the things that you lose when you drink is control of your tongue. Huh? Isn't that right? Another thing that you lose is all reasoning. You get a few beers in and you're going to lose all reasoning. You're not going to be able to reason out anything. Your tongue gets you in trouble. And you stand up to somebody that's about 6'8". And you're about 5'2". And you're going to say, "I'm going to whip you." And your tongue's going to get you in trouble. And you're going to get your face smashed in. You're going to get your nose splattered all over your face. And they may hit you just right and it'll affect your brain. And you won't be right the rest of your life. You lose all reasoning. And that guy comes up to you and you say, "I'm going to drive this thing. Let me drive it." You lose all reasoning. You think you can drive and you cannot drive. You've lost all reasoning. And you're going to get down the road and you're going to hit somebody head on. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to kill them. And you're going to kill those parents, and you're going to kill those little 3 and 4 and 5 year old little kids. And you may kill yourself. You lose all reasoning. And it'll affect you physically. Thank you, Dave. It'll affect you physically. Now that's what drinking will do for you. And that's what drinking will do to you. Now, did y'all understand that? You young people, did you understand that? That's what you lose. When you start drinking beer and whiskey and vodka and anything else that you can drink. That's what it'll do to you. It will completely destroy your life. But we see here, she was changed. The Lord turned her around and changed her direction. And when He saves you, He turns you around and He changes your direction in life. She no longer wanted to go down to the beach or to the swimming pool with all the nudity around her. She wanted to be a good witness to the Lord Jesus Christ that saved her soul. She changed her complete wardrobe. Now, Brother Jones, get off from that. I believe this needs to be sounded out loud and clear. We're living in a day when it's not preached against. We're living in a day when preachers are not telling people how they ought to live. I believe a man ought to look like a man and a woman ought to look like a woman. I believe a mother needs to teach her daughter how to live, how to act, how to dress, and I believe the man ought to do the same thing with the boys. I believe that's our responsibility. And I believe the mamas need to set the examples and the daddies need to set the examples. Daddy won't be running around with his tank top and his shorts on, trying to set an example for the boys. The moms won't be running around with their shorts, period, and slacks that pertain to a man. Now listen, I'm not being smart. I'm just trying to teach you all how that you can honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've had people tell me, no preacher is going to tell me how I ought to dress. Well, would you let the Lord tell you then? My wife, bless her heart, She'd grab a switch and she'd wear little kids out with that switch. You said, "Oh, not little Brenda." Yes, she did. She'd tell them. She said, "If I don't do it, the Lord will do it. And I would rather do it than to have the Lord do it." And that's the way I feel about this. The Lord can tell you. But I'll guarantee you, I believe it'd be a whole lot easier if you'll listen to the preacher and listen to your pastor and listen to the man of God. It'll be a whole lot easier on you if the Lord has to teach you to do it. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Lord. He wants you to honor Him. He wants you to glorify Him with your life. Love Him. And I believe that's the motivating factor in everything that we do, in the way we live for the Lord and serve the Lord. That's a motivating factor. I believe loving the Lord. If you don't love the Lord, you will not do it. That's just like loving your husband. You ladies love your husband so much, you'd do anything possible for them. And that's the way it is with the Lord. When we love the Lord, we'll do anything that we possibly can to honor Him and to show Him that we do love Him. Man, I wish I'd have kept my mouth shut last night. There's a change. There was a change in this woman here at the well. Listen, the Lord has always had a godly standard for His people. Always. All right, let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And verse 26. We have the account here of the Gadarene that was saved by the grace of God. As we read this, I want you to notice when he was saved and how he was saved and the change that took place in his life when he was saved. And they arrived in verse 26 at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus?" That's something? "Thou Son of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine, feeding at the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran vehemently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And they that fed them saw what was done, and they fled and went and told it to in the city and in the country. And then they went out. Now notice. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Whew. What a change. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and still naked. Brother Jones, you better read that again. He was clothed. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he was clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that right? Saved by the grace of God. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Clothed and in his right mind. That was the first thing that he did. One of the first things he did was put some clothes on. Then take them off. He put them on. He had a desire in his heart to want to dress decent. Just like that woman at the well. She went home and threw away or burned them or whatever she did. She burned all of her mini skirts up. Every bit of them. You say, oh, that's just a fad. No, it's just ungodly. That's all it is. Every time you put something on, go to the mirror and say, Lord, are you pleased with this? I'm going to stand here, Lord, until you tell me if you're pleased with this or not. And if he says no, take it off and put something else on. Now, do you all think that's good advice or not? Do that. You men do the same thing. His clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them by what means he was possessed of the devil and was healed. And then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, for Jesus sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Boy, I'll tell you what, immediately the Lord made a home missionary out of him. He wanted to go tell his family. Wanted to go tell his people what had happened to him. Boy, I'll tell you what, when I was saved, I come home from church, I got on the telephone and called all the way down to Greenville, Illinois. I said, Grandma, I said, I just wanted to tell you, call you and tell you that the Lord just saved me by the grace of God. Got on the phone, called my father-in-law. Called my mother. I said, Lord, just save me. And when I was just a little tyke, about like this, my great-grandma Barlow, she would write my mother, and she would say, how's my little Baptist preacher? I'm just a little guy. I'm about like this. She was a staunch Presbyterian. And I'm sure she believed in the doctrines of grace and the sovereignty of God. But she died before I was saved and called to preach. But I've often wondered if the Lord paid her a little visit. And so we see here that there was a definite change in this man's life. You say, man, he was pretty rough sinner. Now he was just a sinner just like you and I that the Lord had saved and changed. Changed him. Of course, we see here how Jesus found him there in verse 27 through 29. We see also there in verse 35 that the people saw the change. And I believe that people will see a change in us. He wanted to be with the Lord. He was obedient to the Word of God. I believe a person that is truly saved won't have to be told that they ought to be faithful to their church. On Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I believe you'll want to be. I believe the Lord puts that desire in your heart. Because He said unto him, be glory in the church. And that's what He wants us to do. Listen, a religion that won't bring you to church on Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, you got the wrong kind. You got the wrong kind. I'm the Won't take you to heaven either. Say, boy, you're really getting it down there pretty narrow. You know the Lord is here every time you all meet. And when you're not here, you know what's going to happen? You're going to miss seeing the Lord. You're going to miss feeling His presence. You're going to miss feeling His power. That's what you miss by not being in church. You say, man, that's quite a bit. Sure is. But that's what you miss. We see there also he had a desire to witness. Then I couldn't help but think about old Zacchaeus. There in Luke chapter 19. And it's time to stop already. Luke chapter 19. And I'm not even half through. You're all familiar with Zacchaeus. A great big tall guy. I get my little kids that every Sunday morning. I have a little devotional with them and sing with them and so on. And I'll tell them that, you know. And they'll say, no, Brother Jones, no, he was just a little guy. Anyway, you all are familiar with Zacchaeus. Climbed up in that sycamore tree. Had a desire, he wanted to see Jesus. And in verse 8, I'm not going to read all this. I was going to read the first 10 verses. You can read those later. Anyway, Zacchaeus was saved, and after he said there in verse 8, he says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. If he ever seeks you, he's going to save you. But well, I'm glad of that. Because he said here, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. You're here and lost, and you realize you're lost. He came to seek you and to save you. If he ever has dealt with you. He came to seek, and to save. And so we see here that Zacchaeus was a chief crook and a rich one. He was looked upon as a great sinner. But praise God, he changed him. He was obedient there in verse 5 and 6. He was obedient to the words of the Lord. And the Lord made him honest. See, I'll tell you what, Brother Jones, I used to be the biggest crook. Boy, I used to be able to cheat anybody out of a dollar. What happened to them? The Lord saved him, and the Lord changed him. And in verse 8, he said, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Y'all ever see that? You say, what do you call that? I call that restitution. Restitution. I've had to do some of that. My point is, the Lord changed him. Y'all follow me tonight? Y'all see that in all of these? The Lord didn't witness of His salvation until the desire to change was there. Read that in verse 9 and 10 and through there. Nebuchadnezzar. Y'all are familiar with him. How that he was out there eating grass like the animals and so on. And then in verses 35 or 33 and in through there, the Lord had changed him. Saved him by the grace of God. Changed him. Turned him around. And boy, he believed in the sovereignty of God. Believed the doctrines of grace. Put a desire in his heart to want to live for the Lord. And then I couldn't help but think about the eunuch that was saved. He was lost. He also was rich. Also was a very religious man. He was a worshiper without salvation. There may be some here tonight. Come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and say you worship the Lord, but you're lost as can be. That's the way this fellow was. He had no understanding of the Word of God. That preacher got up in that chariot with him, preached the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to him. He was saved by the grace of God. And the first thing he wanted to do after he was saved was to follow the Lord in baptism. And they both went down into the water and he baptized him. And they went on their way rejoicing. What a change. Then the Philippian jailer. You say, well, what was he? Well, first of all, he was a preacher persecutor. I believe with all of my heart, if preacher killers and persecutors